Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to Cornerstone Christian Church of God podcast, where we are devoted to bringing restoration and transformation to all. To stay connected and find out more about what God is doing in His church, please visit our website, cccghq.org. Thank you so much, and we hope you are blessed by this message.
Let's go through our themes together, starting with the theme for the year, One to Go. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And the theme for this month, One to Go, then the hand of the Lord came upon Emmanuel, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of all his Arabs to the entrance of his destiny and even further. Cornerstone, let there be light. Please clap your hands and you may be seated. Amen. The shouting side is the winning side. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Glory to Jesus. Looks like today is pink day. Amen. I see pink, pink. Is that the color of resurrection? Glory to Jesus. The laws of motion. Number one. Everything that is alive moves. So if you're alive, please move. I didn't say scream. Please move. If you want to be alive, begin to move. Number two, the bigger you are, the greater the force you need to move. The bigger your destiny, the bigger your life is, the greater the force you need to move. Number three, association or interaction with things that move can also move you. Number four, the more consistently you move, the faster and the bigger you get. This is why the devil wants to stop our traction by bringing in rationalization and other forces. But the Lord has empowered us in the name of Jesus. Resurrection power over judgment. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, this is critical, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, identified as sinners, Jesus died for us. Verse 9. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We're looking at resurrection power over judgment. John 16, verse 8 to 11. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. We looked at that in the first service. And of righteousness, that's third service. And of judgment, that is this service. Glory to Jesus. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. This is why I said in the first service, victory over sin simply means believing in Jesus, focusing on Jesus. He says of sin because they do not what? Believe in me. Keeping Jesus our focus gives us victory over sin. Let's go to verse 10, please. Keeping our focus on Jesus, verse 9, gives us victory over sin. Of sin because they do not believe. So the moment we believe in Jesus and keep believing in Jesus, we retain victory over sin. Somebody shout, thank you, Jesus. Why are we celebrating Easter? Because God came in the form of man to die for man. Paul said, I have to be all things to all men that I might save them. He was copying Jesus. He came to be like us things so he can save us the way we are. He came to be like us so he can save us. He was tempted like we are tempted, yet without sin, so he can stand not to wag his fingers at us, but to judge us by saving us. To save us. Glory to God. What is judgment? Let me speak about the progression of sin. I will come to judgment. The progression. This is the way it starts. Judgment is the end result of a process that begins with temptation. So if temptation comes, and then a person sins, whether they sinned or they were convinced that they sinned, the effect is still the same. And the moment there is sin or imagination of sin, then there is guilt. Guilt is a feeling that you have sinned. I said in the first service how the process that we ought to go through is that people who are babes in Christ should not yet know that they have sinned. It is the Holy Spirit that will help them to grow when they are pampered with love. It is why when you first give your life to Christ, you're just filled with so much love. It's almost as if heaven has come to you, literally. Because that is what a babe in Christ needs. Love. The way a child, a human child, does not know the difference between right and wrong until human beings tell them. That's the way it ought to first be with a child of God when they first come to Christ. So guilt is a feeling of sin. The moment you acquire guilt, condemnation will come next. Condemnation simply means that you are accepting the guilt. Remember, in many cases when a person is to be arraigned before the judge and the sin is very heavy, they'll keep them in a holding cell. Condemnation is a holding cell. Judgment is now when what you have done is the pronouncement of punishment. That is now judgment. Guilt is a feeling that you have sinned. Condemnation is accepting the feeling. Then judgment is now the pronouncement of your punishment. Please follow this. We are receiving power over judgment. If the feeling you are feeling is accurate, that God hates you, by now he should have pronounced judgment against you. If there's no judgment, that feeling is manipulated and is from the devil. The devil cannot pronounce judgment over you. He will only suggest judgment. God told you. You now turned around and told everybody else. Now you have a group of people who don't wear earrings. They don't understand why. Now they have to look for scriptures and bend it like the style bender and be bending scriptures. Just so that you can justify, because you don't want to look stupid. And you justify that, and then it becomes this thing, and then others are bullied into doing it. If you wear earrings, then this is your problem. And it just goes on and on and on. Then we've now turned the church into a factory of condemnation. Because the moment you're following an instruction, you don't have grace to follow. You can never follow it properly. I pray that Jesus will rescue people. There are many in bondage, and from the look of things, they might die in such a bondage. Because some have now become so secure in those rules that they've been given without a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Judgment. Jesus died So we don't have to face that judgment. There's peace of mind. There's peace of there's Christianity is maximum soft life. It's the my daddy package. There are many older brothers of the prodigal son. In fact, some movements, some denominations are practically of the older brother of the prodigal son. Some of us are enjoying our life in Christ. Their job is to come and they peep inside the house. Ah! Why is he eating the fatted cow? They peep into our messages. Why are they enjoying this so much freedom? You don't talk about this. You don't talk about that. You don't do this. You don't do that. You don't do this. So they come here and they're looking for all the problems. Yeah, they don't see, like I said in the first service, the moment you get born again, it's like you have enrolled into a school, like the U of A, and then you all have different courses. Focus on your course. If you are taking engineering, take it. If you are taking fine arts, you take it. It's yours, it's medicine, take it. And you see, this is where the peace comes from. And when we read the Bible without the Holy Ghost, you find a bunch of hypocrisy. Because you see, 1 John can be saying, so John the apostle is speaking to a group of people. The Holy Ghost led him to send a message to those people. And that applies to them at that time. And then Peter is saying a message to these people, and this is saying a message to those people. So now you find in the word several messages packaged to different people at different points in time. So now we are now interacting with a book like this. Without the help of the Holy Ghost, you'll be bumping into other people's messages that don't belong to you at a particular time. So when people come to me, oh, Apostle, please give me practical. What's the practical? The overall practical approach is follow the Holy Spirit. And people don't like that. Because it's hard. They want to see, turn left, go right, go here, go there. The Holy Ghost knows what is applicable in the hour. At every particular point in time. And this is a church of the Holy Ghost. We just cannot say Cornerstone Christian Church of the Holy Ghost. It will sound very strange. But this is a church of the Holy Ghost. Let's speak about judgment. The Bible says, do not judge. You see, judgment is not a team sport. I'll say it again. Feel free to laugh. In a non-judgmental way. Judgment is not a group effort. It's not a team sport where you all jump in and just rush in and judge a person. No. In fact, the more you judge, the more susceptible you are to judgment. Let me finish before you try to crucify me. Remember, today's Resurrection Sunday, not Crucifixion Day. Matthew 7:1-5. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. Assuredly, I say to you. And with the measure you use, pressed down, shaking together, running over, it will be measured back to you. So before 10 a.m., you have seen everything that is wrong with everybody. Congratulations, you've just determined how your next few hours is going to be. And why do you look at the speck? Why do you look? At the speck, you are focusing your eyes on other people's problems. But you do not consider the plank. Do you know what the plank is? Not the exercise plank. 2x4. The 2x4 in your own eye. What an irony. Imagine, like a cartoon, 2x4 wood in their eye. And they are trying to look for the speck in other people's eyes. Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye? There are many today. They are specialists at correcting pastors. They just beat their wives. They just beat their wives. They think we don't know. Yeah, they are messing up more. You can't even control your own home. And you have the audacity to be speaking, yeah, yeah, but he's a man of God. He should know better. Are you not a man? Remove of God. Are you not a man? Are you not a man? Let me tell you the truth before God. One of the most difficult aspects of my job with the Holy Spirit helps me in everything is to correct people. Because this scripture was spoken by Jesus himself. The more you correct, do you know that the moment you start correcting someone, there's a spirit in them that makes them just look at you also and find your own problem too. There's a spirit in them that makes them, and you're correct, look at you too. Now, they might not be able to say it, but it is inside. One day when a spirit comes upon them mightily, like a child, they'll now begin to speak to their parents, talk back to them. But it had been bubbling on the inside. Father doesn't go to church. Yeah, they say, go to church. Okay, go to church. One day, when the child matures, say, don't you talk to me like that again. I don't endorse such messages. Praise God. Romans chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Remember, we're speaking about power over judgment. And one of the fastest ways to reduce judgment in your life is don't judge others. Leave them before God. Leave that. It's not your business. Is it? It's not. You're in the same church. You are not responsible for them. If their enemies are going to hell, it is not you that God is going to question. It is me. It is I. So, focus on yourself and whoever has been put under your control that you have authority over. It would limit the judgment that comes into your life. Therefore, you are inexcusable, oh man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. That's the trade. For some, the judgment is not vocalized. It is internalized. Internalized. It is internalized. The devil is a liar. On Easter Sunday. So for you judge, you will judge, practice the same things. You'll be shocked to see what people do behind closed doors. The one who is throwing stones at someone who had a child out of wedlock is masturbating in their home. You don't get pregnant from masturbation. So we don't see it. But God sees it. He sees it. Just finished watching porn, yet he's throwing stones at others. And God is looking at you too. What is he saying to us? Leave judgment to him. Leave judgment to him. Even in a civil society, there are judges. No matter how slam and dunk a case looks, it must be left to the judge. And to tell you how serious the affair is, lawyers have to debate the obvious. You caught him with knife in his hand and blood, but yet there has to be a debate. Why? Because you understand that this, you cannot just judge a person without two or more witnesses. It's a big error to make such a mistake. There must be witnesses. A case must be argued, but you sit by yourself and be the judge, the jury, the executioner. That's a big problem. What does not concern me, I don't get myself involved in. And it helps when you have work to do. So Paul, I believe it was Paul, one of the apostles, told Timothy that some of these folks, you know, who are widows, if they are young, let them go and get a job. Because they can become busybodies. They are doing nothing. They see what the neighbor is doing. They become neighborhood watch. They know who is going out, who is coming in, what time they go. Get something to do. You have retired, but don't be tired. Get something to take on that would give, that would consume your focus. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. I just love this Jesus so much. Do you love Jesus? Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, he's talking to his beloved, not his enemy, beloved. As you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. He's talking to those he loves. Those he loves. Don't mind others who are minding other people's business. You, I'm telling you, this is not for everybody. It's for my beloved. You work out your own salvation. While others are busy as busybodies, you just keep working out your salvation with fear and trembling. One day you come out and people are wondering, wow, you have grown this much. Look at the grace over your life because you were minding your own business. Working, you're not aware of the pastor that fell in Congo, Brazzaville. You're not aware of the one that fell in Malibu or in Moldova. And Moldova. You just focused on your own salvation with fear and trembling. Tell people to share a message they will not share. A pastor falls, they will share it, really. I don't know what this world is turning to. And they'll share it. I'm doing the work of the Lord. Just warning the sheep out there. No, that's not what we're supposed to do. When you look at a person who has messed up, what you have to remember is there's something called mercy. There's a mercy of God. There's a mercy of God. God knows who has messed up. But you don't know when they obtain mercy. So it becomes dangerous when you are chasing after someone who has been set free. You are still chasing after them. For a sin that you believe they committed, yet the master has set them free. Glory to God. James chapter 2, verse 8 to 13. James 2, 8 to 13. Are we being blessed this afternoon? Yes. If you really fulfill the royal law, royal law is for royal people. If you believe you are royalty and you want to follow the royal law, what is it? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he says you do well when you follow such a law. Love your neighbor as yourself. Which means I'm not out to propagate people's sins. No, love covers. Yes, in the midst of covering, sometimes there'll be spankings. But love covers. Even the spanking is covered. When we're young, when they are spanking you and you want to run out of the house, they warn you. If you go, because this spanking must be covered. If you go, don't come back. Run into the arms of Jesus. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Let's read on, please. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery. You don't commit adultery, but you commit murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. Verse 13, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. The gist of somebody messing up is so juicy, you want to share it. Show mercy. Show mercy. Show mercy. Show mercy. Kenneth E. Hagin said this, and I love it so much. If a person will fall, I would not be a part of their falling. Those who are destined to fall will fall, but my hand will not be in it. No, I refuse. My hand, except God forces me because I'm a servant, but my hand will not be involved in it. Some are already falling. You don't need to put your leg again.
They're already falling. Just step back and mind your own calling. Judgment. I quoted this in first service, but I didn't say the scripture. 1 John 3:20-21. 1 John chapter 3, verses 20 to 21. For if your heart, our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. What a golden statement. So I've come to this conclusion. While the whole Bible is for all of us, I've realized what God requires from all of us is not the same at every point in time. I've come to that conclusion. Because there are some people who are messing up and he doesn't tell me to correct them. He just says, love them. But they are doing a lot. But love them. And it will seem like you are condoning those things. But then there are some who make a little bit of error. And the Lord will move me to come in like a mighty rushing wind upon them. And I'm wondering, is it that the Lord hates one and he loves the other like Esau I've hated, Jacob I love? No. It is, these people are at different stages in their relationship with Christ. You understand that a child peeing in a house, it should be a capital offense. But a baby peeing is acceptable. Pee is pee. But who peed is important. Who is the peer? I'm glad my English teacher is not here. Who peed is important. Who did that is important. But what we see today is just we're just looking at what was done and beating everybody up. No, you need the heart of a shepherd to understand. It is not the act, it is the doer of the act. And God judges accordingly. So Moses was told, speak to a rock, he hits it. God said, this is your judgment. You are not entering the promised land. The Israelites messed up. You can't even quantify the way the Israelites messed up. It got to a point where they said, we're going back to Egypt. And in many other instances, yet God, yes, he killed some of them as a sacrifice, but overall, he loved them back into his arms. Judgment, this concept of judgment, you cannot understand except you are a judge. Who appointed you as judge is the question. You are a member of Cornerstone. Who appointed you as judge over somebody else? That is the question. Who appointed you? Oh, I just don't like it when I see sin. Is it other people's sin or your sin? Which one don't you like? Because sometimes people are more comfortable with their sin. They give excuses. But when they see other people's sin, I don't want to give you a, you know, but you see, when you are in the washroom doing your thing, you are comfortable with the scent. But when it is somebody else's, it is way more. That's an Easter joke for you. Let's give a moment of silence. Somebody else has to come and. No, let's stop. All that God is saying to us is, don't go willfully committing sins. That is Romans chapter 6. Don't be in sin and ask that grace will abound. So I have a blank check, just mess up. No, God knows your heart. He knows. He knows. There are some kids, you look at their eyes, they know what they are doing. you know they know. I saw a video of a little child with cookie marks all over the mouth. And the mom said, where are the cookies? He said, no, I don't know. Yet all the evidence was there. You know that that child knows right and wrong and should be judged. Praise God. Don't go willfully committing sins. That is what the Lord is saying to us. Don't go do that. Now, guilt and condemnation is very dangerous. Guilt and condemnation is very dangerous. There are many who have put themselves in the prison of guilt and condemnation. You made a mistake 15 years ago, and you are reminded every day. Imagine what you did. One of us will permit me to share this. I didn't get her permission, but I'll try to mask it as much as possible. Met with me not too long ago. Said, oh, you know, they were filling out a form and they mistakenly or intentionally skipped a particular portion. It was a school application. And then they gained admission into the school and moved on. But that person said, the devil just kept bringing that back to a point where she could not even apply for higher positions in her workplace. Could not do anything because the devil kept saying, if people know what you have done, if people know what you have done. And what did the person do? I'll tell you. Now it sounds so silly, but this is what the devil does. The things he has imprisoned you with, when you say it out loud, you too realize it makes no sense. But he wants you to keep it inside. You know how you apply for a program and they ask you, do you have any previous degrees? The person had a previous degree, but they said they didn't have. Is that a sin? Someone said, it is not. Why? Because the rehearsal of getting transcript from a particular country is very difficult. So they said, you know what? I don't need any credits to be transferred. So I'm just going to say, I didn't have. So because of that action, somebody was stuck in their career, unable to go for master's programs and other programs just because the devil kept saying, remember, if they find out you had a previous degree, that's what guilt and condemnation is. The thing the devil is using makes no sense. If you don't speak up, you'll be in a trap. Don't get to heaven before you realize it was not a big deal. Judas betrayed Jesus the way Peter also betrayed Jesus. And guess what? Judas betrayed Jesus once. Peter betrayed him how many times? The word of God is sweet. Matthew 27, 3 to 5. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests, his fellow murderers, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. Case in point. If you want to be free from condemnation, you're going to love this. Don't confess your sins to the wrong people. Don't take it to murderers. Don't take it to accusers. Don't take it to the wrong people. They will pile up on you. If he went to say this to Jesus, he would have been free. If he took this to even the disciples, he would have been free. But he went to tell fellow criminals. He went to tell somebody that clubs with you, you know what? I feel bad for going to club. What do you expect them to say? They will impart on you an additional clubbing spirit. You go to them and say, no, I don't want to be drinking anymore. Yet, these are your collaborators. They are your... If only I just ask myself, why did you go to the chief priest? Why did you go and be vulnerable to them? Why? And they said, what is that to us? And one of the ways to damage people is to speak certain words to them in their moment of weakness, in their moment of vulnerability. And then the man just turned around. I said, if these guys can tell me, what is it to us? What is Jesus going to say? So he went and threw it down and went and hanged himself. When there was a master, he knew where Jesus lived. Yes, he was captured, but he knew where the disciples were. He could go and meet Peter, or better still, go and meet John. I know Jesus loves you. You love him. Please, put in a good word for me. What is the Lord saying? What is the Lord saying to us? Don't allow yourself to be judged. There are some people, they themselves are already judged. So if you go to them telling them, they will tell you the judgment God gave them, and they will pass it on to you. As you know, some parents can absolve a little child, a younger sibling, of some offense. In fact, and I'm a beneficiary of this, if you are asked to care for your younger ones, and parents go out into yonder to go and walk, and they come back home, and the younger ones under your care broke plates, they'll go to the elder one. I put them under your charge. So the younger ones are crying, but it is the older one that receives the punishment. And then after they go, then I turn around. I'll not complete the rest. I say, if they give this to me, then what they are trying to say is, I should give this to you. But that is not the way God works. That's the way I walked in the past. Glory to God. Judgment is no longer your portion. Even if you have sinned, there is mercy available. Go to Jesus. You've made mistakes in your marriage. Your spouse is not even aware of it. Go to Jesus. First, not your spouse. Because chances are your spouse might not accept it. Go to Jesus first. You've messed up in the way you raise your children, and you realize, go to Jesus first. Receive forgiveness first. And then it will be easy to handle people's judgmental nature. Many times when people leave the church when they make mistakes, it's because they have not received forgiveness from Christ. They blame us, but it is up to them. If you have received it from Jesus, you'll be able to contain what people don't give you. Receive it. Receive it. Let's be a body of Christ that loves people enough to understand that nobody is perfect. Yes, sir. And leave the judgment to those who have been appointed to judge. Somebody did not dress properly. Leave the judgment to those who have been appointed to judge. And you mind your own business. How they are judged is not your business. Some people are repeat offenders, so their judgment is different. Some, this is the first time they offended, so theirs is different. Just notice what is wrong and say a word of prayer and shift your attention back on what matters to you. Please rise up on your feet. Clap your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. I think you can do better than that in a non-judgmental way. Hallelujah. I want to say this while we're standing. Guilt does not always come from God. Sometimes it comes from the devil. It's a feeling that you've done something bad. Condemnation is when you've accepted that guilt. Now you feel bad. So you said something you shouldn't have said, and then you just realized what you did was wrong. Before the devil takes advantage of that, quickly turn around and take ownership and ask for forgiveness. The longer you take in asking for forgiveness, the deeper you go in condemnation. Remember, the person that you offended don't have to accept it. So give them time, depending on what your offense was. Condemnation killed Judas. Don't let condemnation kill you. Jesus has died on the cross already. Nobody ought to commit suicide for any mistake. Even Hitler, pardon me if that's offensive to you, but even Hitler did not have to kill himself. Judgment. Jesus has absolved us from judgment. So Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13 says, therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy to help in the time of need. What mistakes have you made? The blood of Jesus is available. That is what Easter is all about. Lord, I've sinned. Please forgive me. You don't need to add again. As a rule, those who are leaders and who follow the protocol, they let me know if they are not able to make it on Sunday morning at 8 a.m. I don't keep a list of those who don't. That's none of my business. I focus on those who do. But I realized that there are some people who every week I get messages from. I'm sorry I'm running late. And all I do most times, if they say good morning, I'll say good morning. If they said I'm running late, I'll say, okay, sounds good. That's all. But I've realized that some, one or two or three people, they say I'm running late again. I'm hoping that they are hearing this word now and you remove the again from it. Because there's no remembrance of yesterday. Today is a brand new day. Nobody is keeping score. I'm not. That system is just there to help us to be accountable to one another. My wife checked. I don't know which GPS she used. That was saying that we arrive at 8:02. So he said, please, babe, step on it. So we don't have to apologize. Because if I was late, I would also have to say, Apostle is running late. But we made it at 7:53, I think. AM. You don't have to clap. I'm saying there's no need for I'm late again. It means that your lateness last week Sunday and 2 Sundays ago, 3, 4, 5, whatever, is still there inside you. Yet I have no idea. No matter the mistake, Lord, I'm sorry. I messed up. Please forgive me. I will move forward. And if anybody keeps messaging every single week that they're running late, I'll keep saying, okay, sounds good. Because the essence, now if you want to improve your timeliness, then that's up to you. But the essence is accountability. As simple as that. And that's what forgiveness is all about. Lord, I'm sorry. Say, okay, sounds good. And we move on. Lord, I'm sorry. Okay, sounds good. We move on. And we move on as if nothing has happened. Is the Lord speaking to somebody today? Is heavy. So let's begin to release that this very moment. Lord, I release every heaviness from guilt, every heaviness from condemnation. The mistakes I've made, those I've offended, the examples I've set to my kids, my spouse, whoever I'm leading. Lord, I release myself. That mindset of you should know better is the voice of a condemner. I take authority over that voice in the name of Jesus. I release myself from every guilt, from every condemnation. The weight of sin is gone in the name of Jesus. Is somebody praying? I release myself.
Thank you for taking the time to listen and receive the fresh word of God. Before you leave, if you're listening to this podcast and you're not born again, I, Pastor Ibuku Adewusi, would love to pray with you. If you're ready to give your life to Christ right now, please say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you are the Son of God, and I believe you died for me on the cross of Calvary. I know I am a sinner, and today I come to you
to forgive me of all my sins and to make me a brand new creation. I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me and making me born again. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Congratulations, you are now born again. Please reach out to us on cccghq.org/save and fill out the form completely so that we can send you wonderful materials to help you grow on your new walk with Christ. Congratulations once again. We love you and God bless you.